Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, on this early morning. Thank you so much for tuning in early with me today. We are in Job this morning. We have a lot of words. We are live at 6:30 a.m. To do today. I have a very busy schedule. Today we put to rest a beautiful baby who is with the Lord, and we thank God that he gave our parents 7 months completion with Teresa. Miracle blessing, Carruthers, who was a beautiful angel baby sent from God for this time. And so my condolences again to the Carruthers family, Haley family, and ask God to continue watching over and blessing them. And condolences also to the Lewis family, who also lost a loved one in Mississippi. Prayful and prayerful. Elderly, God chooses who he chooses. And we thank God for every day that he gives us. Heavenly Father God, we come to you this morning, lifting up the name of Jesus, knowing that all things work for good, because, Lord God, it's according to your word and your purpose, God. So, Father God, as we move forward in your word this morning, as always, I ask you, Father God, to please increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and my Redeemer. And it's in the matchless name of my Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross and shed his blood for my sins and the sins of eternity and all mankind. Lord God, we ask you in his name to cover us, God, from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet, with his blood, that no weapon formed against any of your children will prosper. In Jesus' name again I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I can do nothing. And I say it one more time. I can do nothing without him. This morning, we're going to start with a prayer. And I love this prayer. And it says, help me. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Defender, your power to fight on my behalf is more than sufficient. You are perfect in your ways. You don't fight dirty, but you also know how to make the enemy flee. It is so hard to come to my own defense when I've been wrongly accused. I just want them to know how wrong they are. What good would that do? They wouldn't listen to me anyway. I can trust you to represent me well and rightly. You won't distort the truth. You won't try to cover the reality to protect anyone's ego. You are the most qualified defender there is, and you never fail. Help me to rest in your ability, Lord. May I keep my mouth shut keep living the way I have been for you. I trust that you see the truth of the matter, and you will make all things right. Can you let God place of defending you instead of trying to do it on your own? Ooh, what a word. And perfect for today's lesson. But we are in the book of Job. And Job has good friends. Who came to support him? Who came to tell him what a sinful man he is? Because otherwise, be going through what he's going through. Naked, covered in boils, in a hot mess. You know, they just, no, you must have done something. Adversity comes even if you didn't do anything. But wake up. Because it just may be your season of testing. This was Job's season of testing. God already knew the outcome. God already knew how much Job loved him. God already knew everything that would come from his mouth, the mouth of his friend. And God was prepared to make a visitation. Things in life that we're wondering, why me, Lord? And the word that God has given us is, why not you? Why not you? And that was very hard for me. When God gave me that, why not you? In my spirit one day, as I was complaining about a situation, and I got a, why not you? No better, no worse than anyone else. Why not you? So keep trusting God and understand. You may have your why not you moment, but God loves us like that. So as we go through our word this morning, and we think on Job, he was a good man, did it all right, and he went through some stuff. We're no better, we're no worse, and we will go through some stuff. Is there not a time of hard service? Job chapter 7. For a man on earth are not his days also like the days of a hired man, like a servant who earnestly desires the shade, and like a hired man who eagerly looks for his wages. So I have been allotted months of fertility, and wearisome nights have been appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? And the night be ended. For I have had my fill of tossing till dawn. My flesh is caked with worms and dust. My skin is cracked and breaks out afresh. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never again see good. The eye of him who sees me will see me no more. While your eyes are upon me, I shall no longer be, as the cloud disappears and vanishes away. So he who goes down to the grave does not come up. He shall never return to his house, nor shall his place know him any more. Therefore I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will come in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a sea serpent? Be a guard over me. when I say, my bed will comfort me, my couch will ease my complaint, then you scare me with dreams and terrify me with visions, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my body. I loathe my life. I will not live forever. Let me alone, for my days are but a breath. What is a man that you should exalt him, that you should set your heart on him, that you should visit him every morning and test him every moment? How long will you not look away from me and let me alone till I swallow my saliva? Have I sinned? What have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you set me as your target so that I am a burden to myself? Why then do you not pardon my transgression, go away my iniquity? For now I will lie down in the dust and you will seek me diligently, but I will no longer be. Ooh. Job chapter 8. Then Bildad the Shuhite entered and said, how long will you speak these things? And the words of your mouth be like a strong wind. Does God subvert judgment? Or does the Almighty pervert justice? If your sons have sinned against him, he has cast them away for their transgression. If you would earnestly seek God and make your supplication to the Almighty, if you were pure and upright, surely now he would awake for you and prosper your rightful dwelling place. Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly. For iniquity, please, for inquire, please, of the former age, and consider the things discovered by their fathers. For we were born yesterday and know nothing, because our days on earth are a shadow. Will they not teach you and tell you and utter words from their hearts? Can the papyrus grow up without a marsh? Can the reeds flourish without water? While it is yet green and not cut down, it withers before any other plant. So are the paths of all who forget God, and the hope of the hypocrite shall perish, whose confidence shall be cut off. Trust in a spider's web. He leans on his house, but it does not stand. He holds it fast, but it does not endure. He grows green in the sun, and his branches spread out in his garden. His roots wrap around the rock heap and look for a place in the stone. If he is destroyed from his place, then it will deny him, saying, I have not seen you. Behold, this is the joy of his way. And out of the growth others will grow. Behold, God will not cast away the blameless, nor will he uphold the evildoers. He will yet fill your mouth with laughing and your lips with rejoicing. Those who hate you will be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked will come to nothing. And as we go back into chapter 7 of Job, life lesson, I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. This is Job. But understand, remember what he just said, that, you know, we already know he's covered and boiled from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And he tells us, my flesh is caked with worms and dust. My skin is cracked and breaks out afresh. He's like, I'm tossed and turned. You know, come on, I'm in pain. And he tells you, I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. And he said, God instructs us to come to him when we are having a situation. We go to God. It's not about us. It's about him. God instructs us to come to him with all our concerns, all our fears, all our hurts. He can take whatever we have to say. But he knows more about our suffering than we do. And why does he know about our suffering? Because he allowed it. He allowed us to go through because he's trying to get our attention. You got a man. So why are you going to add to it? Come on now. God is trying to get our attention. God said, okay, I will test you again. And sometimes we pass the test. Sometimes we don't. I have failed the test many a times, but I thank God for his grace and his forgiveness. And as we go into Job chapter 8, it says, if your sons have sinned against him, he has cast them away for their transgression. Now, that is something hard for somebody to tell a person who just lost 10 children. Not one, 10. 10 children. 7 boys and 3 girls. Who he prayed for. Who he fasted for. Who he sacrificed for. Who he went to God for. And here's this friend telling you your sons have sinned against him. He has cast them away for their transgression. And I love what Dr. Job lost his sons tragically. And now his friends worsened his pain by suggesting that they had it coming. The truth is, we don't usually know the reason behind someone's misfortune. And to speculate like this is a sin. But you know, they must be going through because they did this, that, and the other. No, you don't know why anybody's going through. You don't know why someone may be suffering a mental health crisis, or suffering financial crisis, or suffering health crisis, or suffering loss of a child or a spouse. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know why these situations are happening, because they don't know why. In many instances, they are happening. We all have to go to God. And the word that God gave me this morning is, I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. God said, I, not me, not you, but God. I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. And we got to understand, God is in charge of everything. Not me, not you, but God. On whomever I will have compassion. God, the Lord God. Is in charge of everything. And we have, when we come to that realization, we can walk forward, we can move forward. We don't have to look behind our back wondering who's trying to stab us in it. When we know that the Lord God is in charge of everything. Not man, not woman, but God. The Lord God is in charge of everything. And he will have compassion on whomever he will have compassion. Not about me, and it is not about you, about him. Praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord this morning. And as we go back into our word, come join me in the 92nd Psalm, and we'll be reading verses 8 through 15. Again, I will do what I want to do. It's not about what I want or you want. God will have compassion on whoever he will have. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Wow. That's a word to save. That's a word to take with you every day. When you're going through, understand God is in charge of everything. And this is David, he's saying to the Lord, but you, Lord, are on high forevermore. But behold your enemies, O Lord, but behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Lord, you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Not oil that's cooked fried chicken and made some pork chop sandwiches. The oil that done cooked the fish. The oil that done, they done cooked, fried green tomatoes. It's not that oil. It's not that old oil that's been sitting on the stove that came from the old bacon grease. It's not that oil. It's anointed with, you are anointed with fresh oil. New oil, not old oil. I love this word. It says, but my horn, you have exalted like a wild oxen. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eyes also have seen my desire on my enemies. My ears have my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Again, I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. And David is letting God know, I know you the one. You the one. My eyes also have seen my desire on my enemies. God did it. My eyes also, my ears have ear my desire on the wicked. God did it. You arise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. God did it. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And understand, I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Hallelujah. We got to know who we belong to. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. Oh, hallelujah. We got to know that it is not me. It is not you. It is God. And he can have compassion on whom he wants to have compassion. Because he is the Lord on high forevermore. Oh, hallelujah. And what does it say? To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in him. We can't get it twisted. Whatever God does for a reason. Whatever God allows for a reason. He will change our life. He will change our trajectory. He will change who we are. He will clean up our mess. He will allow us to give away some stuff because maybe it's time for a complete and total cleansing or whatever it is that you have. It may be time to get rid of some stuff, and it may be time, hallelujah, to have a fresh wind anoint your place in life. Hallelujah. We want a fresh wind to blow, a fresh wind to blow in our hearts, a fresh wind to blow over our bodies and give us peace and coolness in the heat of the day. Hallelujah. Again. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. My hand is lifted up saying, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, and of the praise. Hallelujah. We got to say the highest praise to the Most High God. And the Lord said in Psalms 92:14, they shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. And I love what Dr. Stanley says. He said, bodies grow old and frail, but God wants us to bear fruit so long as we live on this earth. The kind of fruit may vary depending on our season of life, but he calls us to fruitfulness in all seasons. Whew, we got to understand that God wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to have the joy that can come from him. He wants us to have peace in the midst of whatever it is we're going through. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we got to remember to be fruitful. And, you know, when we go back to our book, into our Bible, and I will be coming out of King James for this mini word here. And when we go to our word, God wants us to be good people. He wants us to love each other. He wants us to have peace in the midst of whatever it is we're going through. He wants us to care about our fellow man. So many times we get caught up in self and forget to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for another day. Lord, thank you for helping me to breathe. Lord, thank you. Excuse me, y'all. I just feel that God is working on me. Hallelujah. And I am grateful that he loves me. So many times God has shown me his love and that he cares about me. He wants the best for me. He's that kind of God who wants every one of us to rejoice in his grace, to know that we are his children and that he is our Father God and that he has already placed his armor around us already, made the crooked places straight, that he has already given us hope in a future, that he has already said, well done, my good and faithful servant. He loves us like that. And he wants us to know who we are. He wants us to know we are special to him. God is so good, and we he wants to love us. He wants to love us and multiply us and take us to the joy that can only come from him. And I love what Dr. Stanley says again. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. We all want to be fresh and flourishing. We don't want to be stale and old. Even as we age, we still want to be able to do the things that God calls us to do. And when we go into our word this morning, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to go to the fruit of the Spirit. Because that is what we flourish and how we flourish. That is the fruit that God has given us. And when I looked at it, the word says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We are the children of God. And he wants us to be fruitful. And when we say fruitful, he wants us to be full of love, full of joy, full of peace, full of patience, full of gentleness, goodness, and full of abundant faith. Hallelujah. Those are the fruit that God wants us to multiply, to flourish in. And when we flourish in those wonderful, good fruit, you know, some say patience, long-suffering. Some say forbearance, for long-suffering. But the one thing he wants us to do is to multiply in love and joy. He wants us to be fruitful. And it goes to a proverb this morning. It says, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Incline your heart to my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today. Even you, have I not written to you excellent things of counsel and knowledge that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who sin to you. Whew, what a word. Incline your ear and hear the words of wisdom and apply your heart to my knowledge. Again, who is passion on whomever I will have compassion? God is in charge of everything. Hallelujah. Put your trust in the Most High. And as we go into our main word in our title word this morning, and again, thank you all for joining me early today. I have a very busy schedule, and all I can say is thank you very, very much for joining me at 6:30 in the morning. I appreciate you. And I just want to tell you, I appreciate you. Thank you. And thank you, God, for waking me up this morning. And as we all know, the enemy just got mad real quick. And I know he can't do more than what God allows. But he got a little perturbed when we start talking about how good God is, how his compassion fails not. We know that morning by morning, new mercies we see. Because God is faithful. God is faithful. All I can say is thank you, Lord. I just want to take a quick minute to just say thank you. Take a minute and have your praise break. Did you have your break? Did you say thank you, Lord? You thought, oh, my goodness, there's dead or no, It is me saying, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the honor, of the glory, of the praise. Hallelujah is the highest praise. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for giving me breath in my body. Thank you, Lord, for having compassion on me. Your compassion fails not. God, great is your faithfulness. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this water. Thank you, Lord, for breath in my body. Thank you, Lord, for removing the cough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I thank God this morning. And I give him honor. And I give him glory. And I give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Gotta learn how to say thank you. When your breath is going, and you can't breathe and your cough is not productive, you got to say, Lord, you in charge. You in charge. Give me a fresh wind. Give me breath, God. Remove the congestion coming out of my head into my throat. Remove the congestion that's in my bronchial tubes. Remove, God, whatever allergen is in the air, whatever is causing these allergy outbreaks, God, we got to say, Lord, remove it. Hallelujah, remove it. Remove it, God. And what will he do when you take your praise break and start saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, when you take your minute of silence to just go into your spirit and say, thank you. Look what God can do. Hallelujah. I tell, 9th Romans chapter 9, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. My hands been up. Took me over 12 years to get over the grief of my husband that I can actually talk about him without having a grief moment happen, without feeling depressed that I lost my best friend, but rejoicing that my best friend is with the Lord and that God has given me a new BFF, and his name is Jesus, and that he is my Savior forever, that he shed his blood for me, and that he should always be in my heart. Hallelujah. That he said it's time to go into the water, to be baptized, because I'm getting ready to call you for such a time as this. I'm getting ready to call you to evangelize. I'm getting ready to call you to speak a word to my people. I'm in charge, God. I have compassion on whoever. I will have compassion. I will call home whomever I want to call home. Be they adults who are dead, they're ready to go. But I could wish that I myself were cursed from Christ, but my brother, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises of whom are the fathers, from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all eternity. Blessed God. Amen. And I want you to catch something here. Paul did not say the Jews. He didn't say that. Because Judaism is just like Christianity. It's a faith thing. It's a religious thing. It's not a race thing. And you have folks who are racist and bigoted and thinking of Judaism as a race, where you are a Jew, you are black, you are white, you are this, you are that, and it's all a bunch of man-made nonsense. All sons and daughters of God, be you Hebrew, be you Israelite, be you of African descent, or Nordic descent, whatever your descent, you are still a child of God. And guess what? He loves you. He loves you just as you are. As Paul says, I myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternally blessed God. Amen. And he says, but it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, but they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Come on now. Nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God. Come on now. You better preach. But the children of the promise are counted as the seed. But this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. Understand, Abraham had Ishmael, and he had Isaac. He was the child of promise. God had told Abraham his seed would flourish. Ishmael's seed is flourishing too. A promise. Have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. God is in charge of everything. Let me read it again. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, but they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Let us know that some folks are adopted in. Nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. Male seed is the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac, your seed shall be called, that is, those who are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. What did God say back in the Psalms? They shall bear fruit in old age, fresh and flourishing. And then if you go, it says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also has conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, but the children not yet being born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. But he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. And we think that seems so harsh. But understand, everything is for a purpose and a reason. What does not kill you will make you stronger. God wants to make us strong. God wants to have compassion on, just like Job. He may allow the sneakiest slimy snake, is what I call it. He may allow the enemy of this world to come at you. But understand, he will never give you more than you can handle. And he will always have a safety net. Romans 9:3, I could wish that I myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, despite his frequent ill treatment at the hands of his Jewish countrymen. Paul had an intense desire that they come to faith in Christ and so experience a new life available in him. How badly do we want people to know Jesus? How badly do you want folks that you know in your life that are not saved? You want them to find salvation. You want them to know Jesus. And it says, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy. God blesses people with his grace and mercy, not because they deserve it, but because it is God's nature to give grace and mercy. Neither grace nor mercy can be demanded. They can only be gratefully accepted. Wow. And this is what the life example was for our 92nd Psalm, going back there. Because, again, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. And it's what Dr. Stanley tells us. He says some people are old because their 40th birthday. Others reach 90 and still seem young. What is the different attitude? Come on now. The body will age, but we get old only if we choose to do so. However, God desires that believers live each day fully so that he can use us, as Psalm 92:13-14 promises. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. You know, I was thinking about, I just recently danced actual core group that was supposed to dance would have been from 4 to 64. And let's just say, I'm not the 4-year-old. And I thought, Lord, now the doctor says I got arthritis. And the doctor says I got this. And the doctor says I got that. And how am I going to be dancing? But the Lord's word says they shall bear fruit in old age. I love to dance for God. And I thought, wow, God, thank you. I didn't have not 1 ounce of pain. The enemy tried to hit my knee. But God said, not today. She did. Because she's mine. And she's dancing for me. Hey. And it says, what does it mean for us as believers? First, we need to keep learning. Come on now. Some people are satisfied with their present level of knowledge because learning something new would tax their brain. I love the word of God, and I love learning something new morning by new morning, new mercies I see, thanking God that he will have mercy on whomever he will have mercy and compassion on whomever he has compassion. And I'm grateful that I have been given his mercy, and I've been given his compassion, and that I've been given a new breath. Hallelujah. First, we need to keep learning. Some people are satisfied with their present level of knowledge. I'm not one of them. Because learning something new would tax their brain. But discovering fresh concepts guarantees we continue being productive in this world. Of course, scripture should be our first source of knowledge. Come on now. When we get God's perspective, anxiety and fear diminish so that our body and mind can function on optimum levels In addition, we should read up on whatever interests us because become involved in new projects and learn to use technology. Tell me about it. You know, trying to understand, I'm going to tell you this, a doggone cell phone, it's like going to college. They have so much stuff in these little phones that I see why kids are constantly have their heads buried in one. Because you see this, you see that, you learn this, you learn that. You know, stuff pops up. Temptation pops up. But we have to give it all to God. And so it says, although keeping up with new technology seems harder than the more birthdays we have, it helps to keep us young. That's why another suggestion is slavery. I'm not against retirement, but leaving a vocation is no reason to stop working. I retired from my 9-to-5 in 2015. And I thought, oh, I'm going to kick back. I'm retired. I'm good. Got a little nest egg. I am not going to work. I'm going to do some volunteer work. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Blog Talk Radio was not something I had ever heard of. Working for a company that takes care of seniors, not something I had ever heard of. I was kicking back in retirement, going to do a little bit of ministry, teach a little Sunday school. That was not God's plan. That was not what God had called me to do. He said, I called you at 17. I gave you 32 years of marriage. Now it's time for you to go to work. And I didn't realize who I worked for was him. And he called me to take care of seniors. He called me to youth ministry. He called me to Blog Talk Radio. So even though I retired from the 9 to 5, I feel like some days I work harder now than I ever did before retirement. But I thank God because it is keeping me young. It is, even though I have a handful of gray hair, it's all right because I earned every gray strand. And for every gray strand, God has given me a little bit more wisdom. And it says, just as certain fruit improves as trees age, years of a fruitful walk with God should yield greater fruit in the believer's life. Look for service opportunities through the church and other ministries. If God blesses you with many years, bless him with useful service. The longer you stay young, the more valuable you are as a servant of his kingdom. I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. And I thank God that he had mercy and compassion on me, and that he's keeping me young, and that I can sound like I'm 20 on the radio when God knows my age. And I'm not ashamed to say I'm 64, and because I know who I belong to, and that is the Most High. So thank you so much, family, for listening in. Thank you for being joyful with me and knowing that we are children of God and that he loves us so very much. When I have a word from Sister Carolyn, and it's this: when stepping out in faith, you will be amazed at the results. It's never too late, y'all catch that, for a new beginning with God. God will keep you young at heart. All you have to do is just get up, smile, be happy, get all that fruit of the Spirit, have that love and that joy, dear Lord. Be patient, forbearing, a long suffering, whatever words you want to put in that spot, just know that it is a fruit and that it comes from God and that God wants to flourish you. He wants to keep you in perfect peace, for his compassion will not fail you. You are special. You are his. And guess what? He loves you. He loves me. God will have compassion on whomever he will have compassion. And thank him daily that he has compassion on you. And if Sister Carolyn, however it will be this morning, have a thankful Tuesday. And again, keep bereaved families in your spirit, in your heart. Pray for those who are going through. Because you never know, they may be Job, and they're being tested, and they need your prayers and not your condemnation. So pray, pray, and what? Pray some more, and have a blessed and wonderful and a thankful Tuesday. And may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent one from each other, In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day and a thankful Tuesday, knowing that God has compassion on you. Be blessed, family. Thank you again for joining me early this morning as I go to be with a bereaved family. Thank you. God bless you. God keep his loving arms around you. God cover you from the crowns of your heads to the soles of your feet with his love. Have a great day, family. Join me tomorrow, regular time, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. And we're going to move forward in the word of God. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. This minister's got work to do. Love you all. Be blessed.